Roto Grinders presents your first word in daily fantasy sports.
Let's go!
The Morning Grind. Stevie, TPFL, and company are here to jumpstart your analysis on today's DFS slate.
Let's go!
Without further ado, here's your host, Stephen Young.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Thursday, it's July 13th. We are going to talk about the July 14th Friday slate, the 15-game slate, coming back from the All-Star break. My normal Friday guest, The Siege, how you doing, buddy?
Let's be quite clear, it's not Thursday. It's Wednesday night at 11 p.m. I guess it's Thursday, technically, at 12 a.m.
It's 3 minutes away from Thursday, so I went with Thursday.
That's a fair point. But either way, if there might be some pitching changes over the next 24 hours that we don't know because they haven't happened yet.
Yeah, so we're getting this out super early. We're excited to get back from the All-Star break. Both of us are traveling this weekend. So it was this or no morning grind. So we were like, hey, let's just do it early.
Yeah, this was a great idea by you. You texted me this afternoon, like, why aren't we recording the podcast tonight, this afternoon? And I did I have no idea.
Good All-Star break for you. You enjoy some time off?
Yeah, it was a nice All-Star break in real life, Twitter life. Oh boy. I don't think I've had a worse 72-hour stretch on Twitter, but that's okay. You know, buy Siege Twitter stock. It's at an all-time low.
If I was awake last night, I would have texted you and told you to delete the Twitter app.
The point is I was supposed to be on a Twitter ban. Yeah, man.
But I had a good one, man. Like, we went to this place. I don't want to get too far off topic because we do need to get in these 15 games. We went to this place on Tuesday, and it had all 70s and 80s, like, arcade and pinball machines. It's called the Daytona, like, Arcade Museum. But, like, it's a museum that has all the games you can play. So, like, it's, like, $20 a person. And we spent 5.5 hours there. It was me, my dad, Katie, and my daughter. And 5.5 hours.
Oh, my goodness. Is this, like, by your home?
Yeah, it's, like, 20 minutes from my house. So, like, I'm gonna be a regular, that's for sure.
We're going to definitely, next time I'm in Florida, we're definitely going to put that on the to-do list.
Yeah, man, it's awesome. Like, my dad got a high score on the pinball machine. They put your name on the pinball machine until somebody else breaks it. It's awesome.
That's awesome.
And, like, he didn't, like, just get the high score. He, like, almost doubled the highest score that was there. So he had a good run. Like, he broke the high score on his first ball, and you get 3 balls. So it was it was just like it was run good. So, but yeah, it was a ton of fun. Besides that, man, like, you know, I had some bad news, but you know, it was just one of those things. It was an interesting All-Star break. It was nice to take a few days off and just kind of not have to go on your computer and write articles and stuff.
Yeah, that's. Love writing articles for you guys, but man, there are days that you're just like, I don't want to write about any of these crap pitchers. Good news is that's not the problem today.
No, we got a lot to talk about. There's a lot of interesting spots. Obviously, you know, we're not going to even try to talk about weather 2 days out. Kevin Roth have a weather post up on Friday. There'll be all that stuff. So make sure you guys are checking that out. Let's get started. St. Louis at Pittsburgh. Mike Leake against Gerrit Cole. Mike Leake has looked really bad. I'm guessing no interest in Leake, right?
None.
On the flip side, Gerrit Cole has kind of come into his own. What's your thoughts on him?
I love the spot for Gerrit Cole. You know, we like to attack him against teams that are very right-handed heavy, and with the Cardinals – it's three lefties max, and it's probably going to be seven righties in this lineup. So I love the K upside for Cole. I like the ballpark shift. PNC is a very, very good pitcher's park, especially against right-handed power. This is a really good spot on paper.
Yeah, I like taking pitchers that are going to be pitching with a lead too. And you just look at the last three starts, and the Washington start wasn't bad for Leake, but it wasn't great. You know, it was 8 innings. He only had 4 Ks in that game. He pitched okay, but you look at the Miami and the Pittsburgh start. Like, he just faced this team, 6 innings, 6 hits allowed, 4 runs, only 2 strikeouts. Like, Pittsburgh's not a team that strikes out, and you got a pitcher that kind of isn't a strikeout pitcher. It's just a bad matchup for Mike Leake.
Yeah, 74 Ks and 109 innings this year against a contact team. Not exactly a spot you needed to go on this slate.
You mentioned a lot about Gerrit Cole that I like. You know, you like him against right-handed heavy teams. You know, looking at the Cardinals bats, there's one guy that obviously stands out to me. We were talking about before we went live here. Like, I absolutely love Matt Carpenter today. There's nothing that's going to get me off of Matt Carpenter. He's priced up. Nobody's going to play him at first base. Like, I absolutely love this spot for Matt Carpenter.
Yeah, I'm not going to fight this one. He's not priced up on DraftKings. He's 3,800.
Oh, he was priced up on FanDuel. I haven't looked at DraftKings yet. He was 3,800 on FanDuel.
Pretty soft for this nice warm up after the slate. It's we talked about a couple prices before the show, but yeah, Carpenter's a guy I like, and a one off that I really like that no one's gonna own is Dexter Fowler, coming off that injury, played the weekend, played okay, now had a few more days off, and he draws an interesting start against Cole, another lefty, and he's gotten some stolen bases off him in his career, so I don't hate that idea. Actually, he's got seven hits and two walks. And then, so that's nine total times he was on base, right? Three extra base hits. So you take those away. And he's stolen four out of six and attempted to steal on one more. So I think Fowler will run if he gets on. He's an interesting arcade mode play.
There you go. You know, I don't really like Leak, but I don't see him getting blown up. Three, four, five runs. I don't see a lot of home runs. I don't really see a lot on the Pittsburgh side that I'm going to go out of my way to target here.
Yeah, I don't really see an option here. McCutcheon, maybe, but he's so priced up on DraftKings on a slate on a day where there's not a ton of priced up guys. I think it's kind of a stay away from the Pittsburgh bat situation.
McCutcheon's a guy that I need to eat a hat for. Like I said, this guy was done. I said he was really bad. I said he was playing like crap, and he's just, you know, he's hitting .474 over the last 10 games. He's really been hitting well over the last month, and you know, he's definitely not done. So, you know, that's just a guy that I was wrong on. So I'm glad that McCutcheon's starting. Like, this is a guy that, you know, I like to see Andrew McCutcheon do well. He's a Florida boy. You know, I like to see him do well. And he's really 4,900, though. 4,900 is just too much.
Yeah, and I'm not paying 4,200 for Polanco, who's now back from that suspension.
So there you go. We move on, Chicago Cubs, Baltimore Orioles, Mike Montgomery, Kevin Gausman. Montgomery pitched in relief for Lester in that game that Lester just got absolutely just smashed. So, you know, he's coming pretty much normal rest for Michael Montgomery here. I'm guessing not a lot of interest for these two guys.
I think if Montgomery was cheaper, lefties against Baltimore, but I'm not paying $7,800 for him.
No, not when there's a guy that's $100 more that I really like on the slate.
What's wrong with Gausman at 69? Like, I know he got shelled right before the break, but before that he'd been pitching really well, and this is a Cubs team that strikes out a lot.
I think he's fine for tournaments, which is something you and I talk about, you know, 95% of the time. So I think he's definitely in play. I think there's strikeout upside there for sure.
He's also a home road splits guy, too. I pulled that up, too. Like, massive splits. I'm talking, like, 4 ERA at home, 8 on the road.
And I want to look into that start really quick. Take 2 seconds. I hadn't looked into that start to kind of see what happened in that Minnesota start. And so he had an 11.25 ERA, but he had a 1.74 xFIP. So I'm guessing he got BABIP. Yeah, 643 BABIP in that game against Minnesota.
Yeah, no walks.
So, yeah, no walks, 7 strikeouts. Just the hits and runs, he just got BABIP. Like, 643 BABIP, like, that's just massive. Like, that's just massive.
It feels like a nice low-owned tournament option.
Yeah, like, his FIP was 0.4.
0.4 FIP.
Yeah, like, you know, the advanced stats, like, are telling us that everything is still fine with him, and he just got BABIP in that game. So I actually like that call. I'm glad you made me look into that really quick.
Yeah, let's. I got this handy-dandy piece of paper here. Let's.
I'm taking notes too, since I'm gonna be traveling. Like, all my plays are gonna come from my notebook today. You know, you look at the Cubs here; they're going into Baltimore. It is a good ballpark for right-handed power. Is there anything standing out to you here on the Chicago's team?
No.
Yeah, like
they're broken, Stevie. Like, how could you possibly roster anyone on this team right now?
No, I don't want to. That's the thing. I think the broken call is probably, you know, spot on.
Ben Zobrist BVP, I guess. But I don't see myself doing that.
He is a 2.5, 2.6K on FanDuel. I was looking at his price on FanDuel. It was really cheap.
Oh, that's maybe interesting.
Yeah, if I – hold on. I'll pull it back up.
Isn't he outfield over there?
Yeah, they moved him to outfield. He's 2,600.
I guess if you need a punt, that's fine.
If he bats leadoff, like, you know, there's talks about him batting leadoff.
I mean, there's talks about doing anything with the Cubs right now.
Right. Anything on the Baltimore side that stand out to you against Montgomery?
No, not really. This isn't a guy I'm really in the mood to attack.
Yeah, it's kind of a game that's going to kind of stay away. He's really good against lefties. He doesn't give up a bunch of hard contact or home runs to righties. Like, just a spot. He's a ground ball pitcher. I'm not going to go out of my way to target these guys.
I can see this total opening 9, 9.5. If it does, I kind of like under.
Yeah, Chris Davis is supposed to be back, by the way, which doesn't help us here, but it's definitely something to note for the weekend.
Yeah, that's nice, especially if we get like a John Lackey start over the weekend.
Oh, buddy. All in. we move on to probably my favorite game of the slate, Colorado at New York, taking on the Mets. You got John Gray against Jacob DeGrom. I love these two pitchers in this game.
Okay, you scared me. You're like, this is my favorite game, and I'm like, uh-oh, I love the pitchers here. What did
no,
I miss?
No. I love this spot because the pitchers in a pitcher-friendly ballpark, like, this is just a spot that I'm going to load up on these two guys.
Okay, yeah. Couldn't agree with you more. All right.
Yeah, like, there's not a lot of times that I'll play two pitchers from the same game because I still think a four-point win is still 4 points, but I feel like this is a spot we could see 45, 50 combined points from these two guys, if not higher.
Yeah, I love this spot. I mean, the price for DeGrom is high to the point where I don't think anyone's going to roster him, but that's fine by me. I love this spot.
And you think about it, like, if people are going to pay up, don't you see them paying the extra $300 for Carrasco against Oakland?
I hope so.
Not saying I don't like Carrasco, but I'm just saying, like, I love this spot for DeGrom. I absolutely love this spot. I like this spot for John Gray, too. This is the first spot that we're getting him outside of Coors since coming back from injury, and he's only 7,900 here.
Oh, yeah, it was at Arizona and then at Coors. Dominated in Chase Field, too. Like, he did exactly what we thought he would do if he was right. So, and he had a decent start in Coors, too. Like, it's not like he threw bad there. So he's been throwing the ball well. You know, this Mets team had success in St. Louis, but I think that's more a testament to St. Louis than like, the Mets' competence. So I'm with you.
It was like 95 degrees in those St. Louis games too.
I went to the Friday night game, and as soon as I got there, I saw the wind blowing out to right, and I was like, "Well, good thing I made a game stack because the ball's gonna fly." And I tried to remove all my DeGrom shares, and I missed by like a minute.
Yeah, with DeGrom, he gave up like what 3 or 4 home runs, and that was all he gave up. It was retarded.
Yeah, but they were just like one of them was a shot. The other ones were kind of just like St. Louis. It's hot in the summer. Home runs for lefties.
I don't see anything batter-wise from this game, do you?
No.
Not on a 15-game slate, right?
Yeah, like if I – there's just no way.
Yeah, I'll pass. Yankees, Red Sox, we got Michael Pineda against Drew Pomerantz. Like, I seriously think that Michael Pineda is finally broken. I say that, and he's going to go out and
– I say that. I've actually been playing like 10% of the guy was he's getting blown up start after start after start. Well, and then I sit here and go, I'm the banana hater. Why can't I just fade him? Like, he's been on like these dumb like 5-game slates for a month, I feel like, where I just couldn't take a total fade. He's finally on a huge slate and just watch him go out there and throw a gem.
He's 8,100 on DraftKings, dude. He's cheap. He has 20 fantasy points one time out of the last 5 games, and it was 20 on the dot. Like,
I wonder how Pineda's done against the Red Sox.
He put up 32 against them earlier this year. He had 8 strikeouts, 1 earned run, 7 innings.
Yeah. I don't really want to stack the Red Sox here. I kind of have interest in Pineda again.
That's fine. I like this slate. I'd like too many pitchers on this slate. I just don't see myself using Michael
Pineda. That's a fair point. Like, I don't know if I'll actually click on him, but like, he's going to at least make it into – I'm going to have to dig into the advanced numbers, especially when I see a start that good the first time around. It could just be a profile thing that I have to check.
Yeah, it's fair. And then Drew Pomerantz on the other side, I'll pass.
Yeah, I think that's a strong – that's an easy pick.
Yankees bats, anything standing out to you here? Aaron Judge is pretty good at baseball. That home run derby, like, we didn't talk about it.
I'm not paying $5,500 for Aaron Judge.
Is he really $5,500? He's going to be so popular after the home run derby, too.
Just like, there's no way he keeps hitting at this. Like, I've said this for 2 months now, but, like, there's just no way, right?
Is DD cheap? DD has good BVP against Pomerantz, and we know he hits left-handed pitching well.
Problem is, it's the wrong park. He's not that cheap.
No, not cheap.
No.
Yeah, not really seeing much of the Yankees, to be honest.
I mean, I think it's a stack, right? You're stacking against your Pomerantz. He gets shelled, that type of thing. Like, you've game. I would not play, like, a one-off in this game. It would be I'm stacking the Yankees.
Or I'm stacking the Red Sox. Sorry.
Clint Frazier, by the way, at 3,700 isn't the worst idea in the world.
Yeah, it's not a terrible price. Yeah. He's outfield now, too.
Yeah. Don't hate that.
Man, never thought I'd see the day Mookie Betts was priced under Andrew Benintendi.
Man, Mookie Betts has been underpriced for like what I feel like it's been a month.
If I'm going to play Red Sox or Yankees, I'm going to stack them. I probably won't play either team. There's so many good spots on the slate that, like, this game's probably going to end, like, 5-3, 5-4, 6-3. Like,
or it's going to finish 8-7, and we're going to be just, like, punching ourselves.
Even if it ends 8-7, even on the Red Sox side, like, do you see 2-3-4 home runs that's going to win you a tournament on a 15-game slate?
No. And you're right on the Red Sox side. It's the Yankee side I think I'd be more afraid of fading.
Well, of course, you know.
I never trust Pomerantz. That guy is just.
You're paying a premium for Judge and Sanchez. You're going to need, you know, home runs out of those guys.
I say that. You know, I say that about Pomerantz. You realize he's only given up more than 2 earned runs one time in his last 10?
He's been pitching really well. We had this discussion last time out.
I know. And I didn't believe it then either. And I got away with it because he started walking people.
Yeah, it was against the Rays. He was pitching really good. And then he had that ending where I think he walked like 3 guys and it was just annoying.
Yeah, that's the Drew Pomerantz experience.
It is, but, you know, we look at the home runs. He hasn't allowed a home runs in those last 4 starts. So
Drew Pomerantz is always, like, a better FanDuel play than he is a DraftKings play.
Always. We move on. Washington at Cincinnati. Gio Gonzalez against Tim Adelman. This game's in Cincinnati, which is always good. I'm guessing no interest in the pitching here.
I have interest in Adelman. I like this spot a lot. I think it's a spot where I won't play him just because the pricing on DraftKings is soft and I'm not going to need him. But there's no chance I'm playing the choppy Washington stack. This kid has talent, and people have just been dismissing it. He's starting to put it together. Like, as soon as he's kind of got the Pineda problem. He's given up a home run now in 8 consecutive starts. Like, that's just not going to last. Like, the stuff is too good for him to be giving up home runs at that clip. So once he gets that a little bit under control, he's going to be good. Like, he's cut down the walks the last 2 starts. Again, I don't think I need him on this slate, but, like, I know Washington is going to be a stack that's popular and in that ballpark and on the road, and I'm just not going to have any interest.
The only issue that I have with that is go look at the batted ball profile for Daniel Murphy.
I mean, I can play a one-off. That's fine. I'm just not stacking it.
Like, and Adelman's a guy that, like, against lefties, like, you know, I've been looking into this guy so much because he's such, like, he's a head scratcher. He's a guy that annoys me because, like, his stats are so hard to, like, figure out from, like, you know, a numbers perspective. So I'm, like, looking at where he's, like, locating pitches, and he just jams left-handed hitters. Like, he throws more balls inside than a lot of right-handed pitchers, and, like, he's just jamming lefties, and that's just bad, bad, bad against Daniel Murphy.
Yeah, he's only giving up 28% hard contact to lefties, and he's got a 2.3 home run per 9. Like,
yeah, that's gonna come.
One of these is gonna give, right?
Yeah, like it's probably more of like what I'm saying. Like, working inside, there's gonna be lefties that just mash inside pitches like Daniel Murphy, and then there's gonna be guys that struggle with him, and like he's probably gonna continue to give up some home runs, but I don't see the hard contact coming up too much.
Yeah, I like a one-off. I don't mind the Murphy one-off. I always like playing Daniel Murphy, so I can get on board with that. But, like, I guess you could play a Harper one-off if you wanted to. But, like, you know, with these injuries, like, the Nationals lineup, like, I guess it really depends on the lineup you get. Like, if you get that, I can't imagine they would just play all those bench lefties the first game back from the break. So I feel like you'll get all the righties just because it's the first game back from the break. Which would be better for him than, like, if they start. Sorry, I said that backwards.
Yeah, you want all the lefties.
I want the lefties.
Yeah, you don't want all the righties. Like, he's been struggling against
righties. You say that, but, like, his K per nine is through the roof against right-handed bats. XFIP of 3.99. It's really weird. These numbers are really, really weird. There's regression coming. Either he's a total gas can or he's going to be really good. And I think it's the really good side.
Yeah, you look, you pull up the heat graphs on you know, fan graphs, and you look at it on plate IQ. He's just a guy that just pounds the inside. And, like, I don't know. Like, if I'm stacking Washington, it's Harper, Murphy, Zimmerman, Rendon, like that 3, 4, 5, 6. But, like,
I see a 10.4 K per nine against righties, and I just.
Well, it's boom or bust, right? It's a 36% hard contact, only 17% hard or soft contact. Like, it's a boomer bust.
How do you give up that hard contact? I just am so confused with this guy.
Yeah, that's why I said, good luck, dude. You could spend I've spent hours upon hours trying to figure this guy out. It's just I'm not.
I feel like I just did this like 5 days ago.
You did.
I feel like I just had this conversation.
We did. We have this conversation every 5 days because
we do because we this guy just drives us nuts.
All right. We kind of talked on Adelman and the Washington side. What's standing out to you here on the Reds against Gio?
Duvall?
My boy, man. Zach Cozart.
Yeah. I don't have BBP in front of me, which is just annoying.
Well, you're not going to be able to pull up BBP on it because
I have to pull it up on the ESPN app.
Yeah.
Let's see. Holy, you want to know a random BVP player of the day? Holy shit.
Who's that?
Joey Votto, 8 for 18 with 3 doubles and 3 home runs.
Does not shock me. Votto hits left-handed pitching well.
Yeah, and Cozart's awful. Awful.
It doesn't matter. Not listening.
2 for 17. Have fun with that.
That's fine. Zach Cozart's a different hitter this year. Standing by it.
Yeah, Gio's actually been pitching well this year, too.
Joey Votto has a 366 ISO against lefties this year.
366 ISO.
443.
That's the arcade mode play of the day right there. That's going to come in at like 1%.
Man, these guys against left-handed pitching. Like, Cozart.
Oh, Votto's 5,400, too. You know how unknown he's going to be on the main slate? Zero.
There you go. Votto, Duvall, Schebler, Cozart all have over a 400 wOBA against lefties this season. Scott Schebler has a 284 ISO and a 406 wOBA against lefties this year.
Have they faced any?
And his strikeout rate is 16.9%.
That makes me wonder if they faced any lefties.
Well, you'd have to like really like dig into it to see who he's faced, but
such a low strikeout rate for a guy like Schebler, isn't it?
Votto's strikeout rate's only 12% against lefties.
That's Votto. Like Schebler's just like a swing and miss guy.
I would definitely not play Gio in this spot. Billy Hamilton and Suarez, the only two guys in the projected starting lineup with a strikeout rate over 20% against lefties this year.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm with you. Definitely no Gio.
And
God, I thought it was arcade mode. I hope they priced him down a little bit.
It's a good little man. The red stack might be really interesting here.
But what do you want to play other than Suarez and Votto?
You could really roll
Cozart and just.
You could really roll out a Cozart, Votto, Duvall, Schebler stack.
I think I would just rather attack the Votto one-off spot in arcade mode and call it a day.
Yeah, that's fair. Toronto, Detroit, Aaron Sanchez, Justin Verlander. This is right around where Verlander like really started to put it together last year.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Like, he's cheap too, man.
God, that guy has just been so broken all year.
His last four starts haven't been bad. I already know what I'm doing. I already know right when we get off this podcast, I'm like spending an hour into Justin Verlander.
Okay, so like I want to throw the Cleveland starts away because Cleveland just owns him. Like just owns him historically.
Exactly, but like look at the last five starts. The hits are the issue, right? Like the contact rate is too high right now.
Yeah, the whip is still really high too, isn't it? Like
1.5 this season.
Yeah, but like even lately, right? Like it's 10 and 6 and 2/3, take 10 hits and walks and 10 and 2/3, 12 and 3 and 1/3, 10 and 7, 5 and 5 and 2/3. Like it still feels really high.
The Sierra is ridiculous. He has a career high in contact, hard contact allowed, second lowest career swinging strike rate of his career. Like,
let's play a name game. Or sorry, not to steal like the face of everything. Let's just play an either or. Garrett Cole or Justin Verlander?
Probably Cole.
Verlander or Sonny Gray, who we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll probably disagree on this.
Yeah, you're gonna say Verlander. You don't believe in the man that is Sonny Gray.
Nah, I just don't play pitchers against Cleveland, but
okay. What about the other Gray?
I would definitely take John Gray over Verlander.
All right, and then
I would take Jacob Fario over Verlander too.
Right. So I just that's my problem is I think there's just too many guys that are better.
And like I let's just make it clear, I would definitely take Jose Berrios before I would take Verlander, and he's
Verlander doesn't have a slider, right?
I don't think so.
So
I can tell you really quick, I have his page up. He does have a slider.
Is he throwing actually? Nah, I gotta see if he actually throws the damn thing.
He throws at 19.4% of the time this year.
The righties?
I just have total overall.
Hold on, I can pull it up.
Curveball, slider, fastball, changeup.
If he starts just religiously throwing the slider, he could have some success. But
so you want to know how like velocity is really broken this year?
Yeah,
2017, Verlander's averaging 95 miles an hour. In 2015, he averaged 92.8.
Yeah. It's been one of his better swing and strike miss pitches too, is the slider. I just don't know if I'm gonna be able to play him over the other guys in the tier.
Yeah, that's the problem.
But I guess Faria has no strikeout upside against LA. You don't think Sonny Gray has it against Cleveland. So then it comes down to like John Gray and then like Jose Berrios against Houston. Eric Gausman at 69. I guess he's probably closer in play than I probably gave him credit for the first time.
I just know I'm going to be doing a deep dive on Verlander when I get done.
I literally just typed in Justin Verlander research with an exclamation point.
Yeah, it's just you know that nobody plays pitchers against Toronto, and that's just one of the things I just love to do.
You know I'm right there with you.
The problem is, like, they have really good BVP against him. Smoke, Baptista, Donaldson, Tulowitzki, Martin, Morales, all hitting over 300 against him.
Yeah, that will perfectly just scare me away.
Yeah.
I can now just go ahead and delete that.
Yep. 44 strikeouts in 154 innings, though.
So he either gets shelled or he strikes him out.
Yeah, 8 home runs, 11 doubles. Yeah, they have good numbers against him.
Smoke has 3 home runs and 10 Ks and 18 at-bats. I think that really just explains everything you need to know.
Yeah, Morales kind of around the same thing, too. No interest in Aaron Sanchez, right?
No.
I have to ask.
I might go right back to the tire stack. Hey, after watching how Sheldy got in the first one.
Yeah, coming, you know, the Tigers are an older team. They need these 3 days to take off.
Yeah, man, just no one's going to stack against Detroit in the spot, and it's just really tempting to just go right back against Aaron Sanchez because he was just awful in that starting against Houston. Like, we stacked Houston. When did you know that it was going to be a top three stack? I knew about 10 pitches into the start.
It was one of my favorite stacks on the day.
It was. I'm looking at my notes from Friday, and Houston's number one. Thank God I got back on them. But, like, I knew right away I was watching the game down by the ballpark, and I just knew, like, after 10 pitches, you just didn't have it. I
was
like,
do you remember arguing with me on Friday about playing Houston?
I thought I did, and then I'm staring here at my list, and it says Houston right here at the top of the list. So I don't know what happened between, like, when the podcast happened and when I wrote the stacks down on my list because it was at the same time. So I'm not sure what the hell happened.
I was talking about how he like struggled in his rehab start, and it was two pitchers both coming back from the DL facing each other.
That's what it was. You got me on right at the end because I was like, oh, I would stack Toronto against whoever came back. And you're like, well, why wouldn't you do it the other way?
Yeah.
And it got it in my head. And I think by the time I wrote this down, I had been talked on it.
Well, I'm glad it worked out. You know, it doesn't always work out when you want something, but it worked out there.
No, but I think I should go right back to it after how well it worked the first time, right?
There's nothing that suggests that he's going to get better. Like, you know, he struggled in his rehab start. He got mashed by Houston. Like,
Detroit's an offense that's been, you know, mashing the ball all season and getting super unlucky.
Yeah, like Aaron Sanchez's numbers last year, you know, low strikeout, low swinging strike rate. Ground ball pitcher is the only thing that you got to kind of worry about.
When he's right.
Exactly.
Ground ball pitchers, when they're not right, give up long, long home runs.
Long home runs. We move on.
The Toronto bullpen is nothing to be scared about either.
Yeah, that's for sure, too. We move on. Dodgers, Marlins, Brandon McCarthy against Dan Straley.
This game's going to troll me.
Like,
I have no idea how.
It's just like McCarthy, we know, ground ball pitcher, doesn't give up a lot of home runs. We know Dan Straley is a reverse split pitcher that is a fly ball pitcher that benefits from playing in a big ballpark.
It's not like Miami's not a big ballpark.
That's what I'm saying. It's just like there's no strikeout upside here from either guy.
It feels like Ozuna one-off.
Honestly, to me, it just feels like I'm just going to fully fade this game and hopefully it doesn't burn me.
I just already have a bad feeling about this.
Well, yeah. Well, you always have a bad feeling about it, but
I kind of just want to play Stanton Ozuna.
I kind of want to play Bohr, but there's so many first basemen that I like on the slate. Like, after what I saw the other night in that home run derby, like, I didn't even tell you. I had 4-1 on Bohr against Judge.
You didn't tell me that. Told me that. He had 22 in the first round. I was like, he's good.
Yeah. Like, one of my ex-boss is a huge Yankees fan, and he just, like,
4-1. God. After he hits 22 home runs, too.
Miguel Sano.
I almost was like, you know, that might not be enough, as insane as that was. So it's like, God, Judge is just a freak.
He is a freak. Guy hits the ball hard.
He's not going to lose that event for a long time.
Yeah, that's what stinks.
It's just like, just move him to the finals.
I don't know. Like, we saw two of the most, like, you know, as far as exit velocity and power bats go, like, we saw two of the best.
Oh, man.
So no against Judge. Next year,
Harper will be in it, too. It's in D.C.
Oh, buddy. Yeah, I just don't see a lot from this game. Like, you know, you look at the Dodgers. They're a left-handed heavy team. Dan Straley, 253 WOBA against lefties this season, 26% strikeout rate, only allowed 4 home runs in 51 innings, and it's a massive ballpark. Like, I just don't see a lot here.
Just typed in Ozuna Stanton arcade mode.
There you go.
Call it a day.
Arizona, Atlanta, Walker against Dickey. I really hope PML was trolling me about Ari Dickey here.
He wasn't.
He really likes Dickey.
My problem is the great starts happened on the road. I mean, he's been on fire, though. God.
But I watched the last start against Washington, and that knuckleball was moving, my friend. It was so dirty.
Like, the announcers, I had one Washington stack, and I knew after an inning that thing was done.
Yeah, I turned on the game, and the announcers said R.A. Dickey threw 2 balls to the backstop in warm-ups because the catcher couldn't catch the ball. I was like, oh, screw me.
Yeah.
I'm screwed.
Yeah, that's not what you want to hear. It's just
– look at the last 4 games. You know, San Francisco, you can kind of take it away. Oakland. But Milwaukee, Washington?
Yeah.
The strikeouts have been there. The knuckleball's moving. Like, I don't think I'll play R.A. Dickey here because I just –
The ballpark, just, God, he has some good BVP too. Ugh.
Like, if you're playing
Arizona offense is so fraudulent on the road, but this is just like the wrong park.
If you want to play, if you're playing multiple teams and you want to play Dickey on a team, I have no issue with it.
I don't think it's playing Dickey. I think it's more of, are you going to play Arizona on this spot?
No. If I do, it's Jake Lamb, David Peralta, just because of the ballpark.
Yeah, right. That's kind of the thing. That's kind of the decision I think I'm making.
Like, the flip side of this game, I absolutely love Freeman and Adams.
Oh, Freddie Freeman. 4,900 at third base.
That's awesome. Good. Nobody play him.
I hope not. Guy's been on just on a tear. Came back and he's just like, here, I'm just going to go back to matching the
You don't even want to know where this FanDuel price is, by the way.
Oh, is it, am I playing him? Yes or no? Just tell me.
He is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Third base, 9.
Okay. What is Kyle Seager, who we haven't gotten to? It might be the next game.
Yeah. Yeah. Kyle Seager's 2,500 on FanDuel. Yeah. He's in all of my Yeah, sorry. No.
What?
Yeah, he's ridiculous. Freddie Freeman's 3,600. He's cheap.
Oh my god, Kyle Seager's 2,500.
Yeah.
So Freeman might not make my lineup. Wow, that's gonna be a pain in the ass of a decision.
It is, because you got the ballpark, you know Walker gives up a lot of hard contact. Like,
oh man.
Walker has a 12.8% soft contact rate against lefties.
This is a spot, by the way, where you just stack Atlanta because the Arizona front end of that bullpen is so bad.
No, I really like the Atlanta stack. I like that call. I think it's a really sneaky stack. If you're playing multiple teams, I definitely think you want an Atlanta stack here.
Couldn't agree more.
Because they're really left-handed heavy now. Like,
they are left-handed heavy.
Like, outside of like Matt Kemp, if they would just – if Matt Kemp would, like, mysteriously have, like, a hurt toe or something, we would see so many lefties in this lineup.
Yeah, Camargo, by the way, is starting to figure it out quietly, too, at the bottom of the order. They jacked his price up, and he's only third base eligible, which is really stupid because he's not playing any third base anymore. So hopefully they'll give him second base or shortstop, and then we can go back to work with him. It's part of a wraparound.
So our good buddy that's a Braves fan has texted me the last 2 days and said, make sure you play him. He's bad in second. He's hot the last 2 days.
I know. And he just obliterated. He's at the same position as Freddie Freeman, our mutual friend. What would you like me to do?
He's only 3K over there in DraftKings, though. And you can play Freeman at first base if you don't want to play like Adams.
How do I justify playing Camargo when Kyle Seager's 3,500?
I know. We're going to get there. But first, we're going to head to Milwaukee, where Philadelphia is visiting. It's Philadelphia, Milwaukee. Pivetta against Davies. Hey, we've had some really good pitchers on this slate, and then we have these two guys.
Wow. You're just dismissing Pivetta?
Listen, he's good. He's just not ready. He's not ready for the bigs. He's just not ready.
How many starts? If I'd set the over-under on 22.5 DK points in his last 5 starts, how many times do you think he's been over?
Once.
4.
Who is he face?
San Diego, Mets, Arizona, St. Louis, and Boston.
Well, if you would have told me that, I would have said 3.
Okay. Well, it's 4.
So
he's had 9 or more strikeouts 3 times. The guy has dynamic stuff. And
he's good. I don't want to discount
him. It's the right-handed heavy teams are the ones we've got the high K numbers against. You look at this Milwaukee team, it's very right-handed heavy. Now, the price on DraftKings is a little absurd at 8.4. Like, that's the problem. Like, I just can't see Judd paying that price. But this is a guy against right-handed bats that, you know, has been striking out 25% of them, striking out 25% of lefties, too. And he's been giving up only 30% hard contact to lefties. Now, the hard contact to righties is a big number, but
the home runs is a big number. That's why I'm like, I just don't think he's ready. Like, the number, the home runs are, the hard contact and the home runs is like,
concerning. But he's been running, like, his FIP is 7.1, but his ex-FIP is 4.8.
BABIP is only 300, so he's not getting BABIP. It's just he's getting hit hard. Like, I think he's talented. I don't think that I gave him enough credit, but I do think that he's not ready.
I think that's a really hot take that he's not ready.
Hey, you know, I get one or two hot takes a month.
Yeah, boy, I like the guy's only given, like, I certainly wouldn't stack Milwaukee here, I'll tell you that.
No, I'm not going to go out of my way to stack Milwaukee. I'd stack Philly before I'd stack Milwaukee.
God, Philly.
I'm not stacking Philly here, but I'm saying I would stack Philly before I would stack Milwaukee.
Okay.
Zach Davies, really, really bad against lefties. High ground ball rate against righties. Really hasn't been shelled against righties. It's just, which lefty do you want from Philadelphia that you're comfortable? Nick Williams, I guess?
Yeah, that was the guy I was just going to mention.
Oh, my God. He's 2.1K on FanDuel.
He's still 2.1?
He is.
Oh, come on, Sites. Like, I know you took an all-star break too, but it's time to get some screws into your pricing.
Yeah, but he's been batting third ever since he got called up. Like,
yeah, I mean,
I know he didn't hit right away, but like,
Odubel Herrera is 2.9K.
Herrera is 2.2K on FanDuel. Hey, if you want to pay up for DeGrom, you got some cheap Phillies here.
Or Carrasco, yeah, right. Jeez. Certainly not gonna be an issue getting a stacked lineup over there on FanDuel.
You can play Carrasco with a Seattle stack, no issues, and still have really good team on FanDuel.
It doesn't surprise you. Told me Kyle Seager's 2.5K. I think that was kind of an obvious.
Carrasco's 9.5K on FanDuel, by the way. DeGrom is 10.9, Carrasco's 9.5. Huh. Yeah.
Hey, I had 60% profit in WNBA. Woohoo!
Yeah. Any Milwaukee bats that you want here?
Any Milwaukee bats I want here? No.
We have to mention Travis Shaw every day.
That's fine.
Every day. This guy is.
There's no chance I can play him today.
There's no way I'm playing him either, but I want to mention him every day just because he's that good.
Oh, Red Sox.
He has 65 RBIs at that break.
This just hurts my feelings.
Seattle, Chicago, taking on the White Sox. James Paxton against James Shields. Paxton, a guy I absolutely love playing, but I really hate playing lefties against the White Sox.
He's a reverse splits guy, isn't he?
He's good against lefties. He's good against righties. He's good against everybody.
Paxton's a guy I'm either going to be all in on or all out. There's going to be no in between on this one.
The thing is, just like every time this guy pitches, he gains 20-plus ownership every time, 20% plus every time.
But the price kind of took like a tier. He went from like a mid-tier guy to a top-tier tier. Like that first start where you like jump a tier, you normally get an ownership decrease.
Yeah, but everybody played him when he put up 30 last time out too, though. Like he was like 60% owned that night against Oakland.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's a fair point. I'm taking a stand one way or the other. It might depend on the weather. It might depend on the lineup. But I'll tell you who I'm not rostering is James Shields.
Oh, that's a hot take. Woo, you don't play James Shields.
So James Shields this year against left-handed batters. So I'm gonna just make sure. I don't want to mess up the stat here. So just on his four-seam fastball, which he throws, I will add 35% of the time, right? It is his highest thrown pitch to left-handed batters. This season, he is giving up a 714 ISO. Not 714 WOBA or ex-WOBA, although he's giving up a 660 WOBA. 714 ISO, Stevie.
You don't have to tell me. I know about James Shields.
I guess left hand, that's insane. I've never seen a number that high. Like literally everything, every bit of contact he's giving up is on his fastball and his changeup.
Yeah, he's allowed 7 home runs in 16 innings to lefties this season.
That honestly feels low with a 714 ISO, I got to be honest.
58% fly ball rate, so some of them probably just went to the warning track.
Yeah. So you wonder why we were talking about Kyle Seager all show. That would be why.
Well, don't forget about Robbie Cano, Ben Gamel.
2.7% swing strike rate on that fastball, too.
I wanted to go back to Paxton really quick. So the White Sox hitters, I just pulled up the stats really quick. They're really boom or bust. There's four of these guys that have ISOs over 200, but all the guys that have ISOs over 200 have strikeout rates over 20% outside of Abreu. So it's just a boom or bust spot. So you're going to really have to like look into the batted ball profile and see how they profile against like, 96 plus, because that's, Paxton throws the ball really hard. You're
going to have such a small sample.
Yeah.
That's your problem. Like, yeah, it's a spot where you're going to have to take a stand one way or another.
You just don't see lefties that throw 96 or 97.
And the ones that do are named like Kershaw and Bumgarner. Like, it's really tough to, like, take. Just.
That's why Paxton's on another level ever since last year. Like, his velocity went up, and, I don't think people realize how hard it is to hit a 97-mile-an-hour fastball, and then when you get a launch, like a release from a left-handed pitcher, it's even harder. It's just crazy.
Yeah, Robinson Cano BVP might be the. Is this the BVP player of the year?
Yeah, it's massive.
It has to be, right?
It's massive. It's Goldie Lincecum numbers.
It's 37 for 90 with 9 doubles, 2 triples, 5 home runs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I know Cano's going to be popular here, and I just don't even care.
I don't care either. If you're a lefty and you crack the Seattle lineup, you will crack my lineup.
Yeah. The one guy you could leave off if you want to be different is Nelson Cruz, but you're taking your own risk there. Like, he's not cheap. That's the reason I'm saying that. Like, you know, there's going to be other plays in that price range that are good plays too.
Yeah, but he was heating up before the break.
I said do it at your own risk.
Yeah, I just don't know if I could even – yeah. If I build a lot of Seattle stacks, I'll build one without him.
Fair enough. White Sox, what's standing out to you? Anything?
Crickets.
Minnesota at Houston. Jose Berrios against Charlie Morton. Interesting pitching matchup here.
Yeah, it really is. So we just saw that Gausman got BABIPed here. I wonder if Morton's going to suffer a similar fate here. Not a huge K guy in that start against Toronto. He looked good, but he kind of looks like he was pitching more to contact and kind of just throwing that swing and strike stuff we saw earlier in the season. Was that where himself working himself back, or was it the fact that, you know, in his last 10 starts, even before he hit the DL, he only had two games with 7 or more strikeouts?
But you look at it, and, like, the contact rate's up, like you're saying, and the ground ball rate is up too. He's getting massive amount of ground balls, so I think he's trying to pitch deeper into games and using the ground balls to do so.
I just worry that sets you up for BABIP against a team like Minnesota that kind of just slaps the ball everywhere.
The thing that's perfect about this slate, though, you just don't have to play him.
Yeah, the real question is, what do you do with Berrios?
Like, you take a shot if you're playing multiple teams in tournaments. I know I say all the time Houston's in the team you don't want to pick on. They're extremely hot. They don't strike out. But you're telling me a guy with the movement and the strikeout ability this guy has at 7,300 is not in play?
Yeah, I'm with you. He's a home road splits guy too, and it's the home run ball, which makes me wonder if it's the mound that just, like, you get, or, you know, this environment on the road. I'm not sure. But, like, we're talking 8-1, so we're not talking, like, small differences.
Yeah, I just – listen, Houston's the best team in baseball against right-handed pitching this season. It's not really that close either. Their stats are insane. So you have to understand the risk. It's just – you know, there's just sometimes I'm just going to play a guy that has an ultra amount of talent at a cheap price tag, and this is one of those spots.
What if Berrios gets to 20%?
Then I probably back off.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I kind of don't hate the Houston stack.
Hey, Chris Cimino, you got a tough job on Friday, my friend.
Yeah, we could just say that every day. Chris Cimino, you have a tough job on insert day of the week here.
Danning and wide, Cimino, good luck, buddy.
Yeah. Houston stack, though, is super sneaky, right? Because if Berrios is bad, that Minnesota bullpen's terrible. And you don't want to stack against Berrios. I get it. But that's exactly why it has all the upside in the world for tournaments.
This, I'm telling you, like, I stacked against him last year almost every start.
I know, I understand that, but we're talking about a record-setting offense that is going to be low-owned because no one wants to attack a Berrios who's given up 5 home runs in his last 3 starts.
Isn't it the same thing we're talking about Berrios? You just kind of enforce it sometimes, and this is just a spot you play Houston?
Yes, exactly. Like, you just the ownership is going to be too low against a guy who has, like, yeah, he can absolutely go out and shut down Houston. But he can also absolutely go up and give up 6-5, and then the Houston scores 7 more off the bullpen, and next thing you know, it's 13-1, and you go, why didn't I play Houston again?
Yeah, you're making like 5-10 teams. You make a Berrios team, you make a Houston team.
God, I just don't think I'm going to play Berrios. I get beat by him. I just think I'd rather play Houston.
It's just like if they had more lefties, I'd be more interested in staying away. It's just – his stuff is just so dirty against righties.
Yeah, I know. It's just Houston, though.
Yeah, they don't strike out.
Yeah.
He faced them earlier this year, too. 4 strikeouts, 4 earned runs, 5 innings, 7 fantasy points.
How many runs did Houston end up scoring?
I can look up the game log. Hold on.
Oh, I thought you had it up.
No, I was looking at his page just to kind of get an idea. Hold on. Oh, he's way down here. That's why, because he's really good against righties.
7. I have it.
7?
I was just curious if he runs a tag on the bullpen.
Yeah.
If he does five innings and 4 earned runs with a home run, like, I'm not feeling like it's the end of the world for my stack.
He didn't give up a home run in that game, though.
Yeah, he's just been giving up a lot lately, though.
He gave up 3 home runs to Kansas City.
Yeah.
That's so weird. I bet you Moose was one of them. That guy's so good.
Yeah. I just worry that maybe he's hitting a bit of a wall. Well, and if he's hitting a wall, then like he's and he gets shelled, it's just the upside is too high to pass on this slate. Like, there's see, a lot of nice. There's a lot of nice spots here. There's no like just I need other than Seattle. There is no like I need to have this stack spot. So attacking offenses that have high upside at low ownership just kind of feels appealing.
If Berrios starts to get popular too, you could always go to Gausman.
I definitely like Gausman more.
There you go. Any bats from Minnesota?
No.
And we talked about Houston. Let's move on. Rangers, Royals, Martin Perez against Jason Hamill.
This is the ultimate. I'm not touching this game.
If this game is in Texas, I'd be all over this game. This game's in Kansas City. It'd be a hard pass.
Yeah, this game is this game literally is an entire like it's just a fade. I have no interest in anything.
Yeah, this game's on the slate. What? 14 game slate?
Yeah.
It's always nice when you can like mark off games, and this is just a game I'm gonna mark off.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. The only thing that would possibly get me back on is if Salvador Perez doesn't catch, hurt his hand in the All-Star game, then I might top myself into a Gomez one-off.
That's interesting. I didn't know he hurt his hand.
Yeah, he got hit with a foul ball. He stayed in the All-Star game, so I'm sure he's fine, but just on the random, they sit him in the first game back or DH him.
Be the one guy that I would like from Kansas City, too.
Yeah, it's just more the stolen base upside for Gomez and those Texas guys if it's Butera.
So true. I guess the other guy we kind of need to mention is Soler, right?
Soler?
Yeah, like massive power against lefties.
I didn't even know he was still on that team.
Yeah, he's still there. He was hurt and came back from the 15 or 10-day DL, whatever it is.
Yeah, he went back to striking out 19,000 times.
Yeah, boomer bust, baby. My middle name.
Yeah, against a ground ball guy and Martin Perez.
Let me contact pitcher, though?
Let me know how that goes.
Oh, yeah, true.
I have zero interest. None.
Cleveland, Oakland, Carlos Carrasco, Sonny Gray. The only pitcher that can give Jake DeGrom a run for his money here is Carrasco. No? Yes? Maybe?
I mean, I don't agree with that at all, personally. But
there's a bunch of pitchers on this slate. That's why I was trying to get a reaction from you. It's my job.
I don't have a – I just anytime the guy's going to be popular, he just blows up. Every time without fail.
Who, Carrasco?
Yes.
He's a massive home road split studio guy.
Yeah, and he's on the road.
Yeah, he's really good at – he's really good away. He's really bad at home. Been like that since 2015. 2014. Going back to 2014, by the way. Been really good at home, really bad on the road. Really good on the road, really bad at home.
I just don't get this guy right, like, ever.
I'm telling you, like...
I mean, this Oakland lineup strikes out 32% of the time against right-handed pitching. That's not very good.
It's really, really easy to play Carrasco here. Like, if you're playing cash games, you probably play Carrasco over DeGrom. And that's hard for me to say. No?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
A matchup against Oakland in Oakland's a little safer than a matchup against Colorado. Like, Colorado has some competent bats.
And Oakland has a couple, too.
Sure. Alonzo, Chris Davis, and is Healy back?
Yeah. And Healy profile is like a god.
Then you get, like, Chapman, Maxwell, Lowry, Joyce.
Yeah, well, that's the issue.
Yeah, I really like the spot for Carrasco. Like, I'm really just going to start.
I hate playing a guy that's going to be 50-something percent owned. Just
there's nobody going to be 50% on a 15-game slate.
You know that Carrasco gets the 50% against Oakland?
On Vandal, he might. Not on DraftKings.
Oh, he'll definitely get to 50% on DraftKings.
DraftKings is priced up to hitters. Outside of Kyle.
They haven't, though.
I've been messing around with lineups, and it's a little harder than you think it is.
You just plug in Seattle stack, and you plug in whatever pitchers you want.
Yeah, but everybody's going to do that.
Everyone's going to do that.
I know. It's crazy.
I just. God, I Carrasco. Trusting that guy with anything just makes me want to just cry.
I'm just going to. Realistically, I'm just going to play him on the road and fade him at home from now on.
It's 12-1. Yeah, I guess I'll have some, but.
You know, you wanted to talk about Sonny Gray. I'll let you talk about him.
I like Sonny Gray. Guy's got good strikeout upside against this Cleveland team. He's pitched well against them in the past. He's a different pitcher this year. He's much improved, changed the arsenal a bit. He's been very consistent. This Cleveland offense is, right before they went on that hot streak at home, they've been cold for a while. You know, like, how much of that was Cleveland and how much of that was just a terrible team that they were facing? Like, you know, it's not like Detroit's bullpen is just dreadful.
Terrible.
San Diego's bullpen is terrible. Then they played Detroit before that. And then they played Texas before that. Like, how much of this offensive resurgence is real and how much of it is they just faced amazing pitching for 12 days?
I just don't play pitchers against Cleveland. I've been playing Sonny Gray ever since, like, I admitted that I was wrong about Sonny Gray. I'm not playing him here.
I mean, this is a spot. I mean, the Cleveland, like, Cleveland quietly against right-handed pitching strikes out. They're at 25.5% on the season.
The projected starting lineup is under 20%.
What's not? I'm staring right at it.
Well, we're looking at two different lineups then.
Lindor, Santana, Brantley, Encarnacion, Ramirez, Zimmer, Chisenhall, Gomes, and Gonzalez. What else would it be?
Projected starting lineup, 19.8%. Same way.
That's all hitters. That's not against righties.
That's against righties. I'm looking at it right now on PlateIQ. I'm looking right at it. PlateIQ has against 25.5%. I'll shut up. My mic just got muted. I'm done.
Steve just muted himself. I was like, I think that's what the point of the righties and lefties tab is. I could be wrong.
They never had that before. They must have changed that really recently.
I don't know. It's been there every time I've used it, but I could be wrong.
All right, I'm going to see myself out, but I'm still not playing Cleveland here, damn it.
You're still not playing Sonny Gray, you mean?
Still not playing Cleveland or Sonny Gray.
That's fine. I'm not obviously playing any Oakland bats against Carrasco, so we,
like,
can move on.
I've been taking notes as we do in this podcast, and there's like four or five spots that I really want to target with hitters on a 15-game slate.
Five? How'd you get to five? I'm at like two.
Really?
Let's see. Let's go back to my notes. Detroit, Atlanta, Houston. So I guess I'm at three?
Detroit, Atlanta, Houston.
Oh, I forgot to write Seattle. I'm an idiot.
Seattle.
I guess it was so obvious I didn't think I needed a note.
And then I had Cincinnati as well. But
yeah, that's because you're a fish. Okay.
Yeah, I'm fish. That's right.
Yeah.
Fishy.
And that Cincinnati spot, man. Ugh. Gio is real. Friday, we're going to be at the bar drinking.
I'm going to be laughing at you in your face, making fish faces at you.
Go ahead. Please do. When Gio's going to go. Yeah, Gio's going to Gio in one way or another. Like, this is not a spot where it's going to be a draw. One of us is getting a win on this one.
All right.
Well, I don't think Gio's ever pitched an average start in his life.
I'll bet you a beer Cincinnati scores more than five runs.
Okay. Booked.
That was the easiest bet ever because I didn't say it had to be against Gio. So easy money.
Oh, in the game.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a fair point. I mean, I guess what starter? Yeah, I guess I'd be in trouble against Roark, and you're drawing dead on Strasburg and Scherzer.
Yeah.
That's probably.
The thing is, like, Roark's been pitching at the bullpen, so if, like, Gio starts to get hit a little bit and it'd be Roark.
If Gio starts getting hit, it's not going to be a good ending for me, but that's okay. That's why we'll be in the bar.
Tampa, Los Angeles, Jacob Faria against Ricky Nolasco. We do want to note Mike Trout is projected to be back for this game. That is the report.
It's Tampa, huh?
What's that?
Yeah, I said Ricky Nolasco against Tampa.
Huh? I knew you were going to like this spot.
I didn't realize it was Nolasco. I didn't have Nolasco on my list.
And, well, that's what the Roto Grinders page has, so that's what I'm going off of.
I'm sure it's probably right. God, ooh. This is an interesting spot.
You don't want to know what his price is on DraftKings, too.
Oh, do I not want to know?
$6K.
That's a really good price. The problem is he have enough strikeout upside on this slate?
He faced Tampa in Tampa, struck out six, gave up five earned runs and three home runs.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
So.
That's an interesting spot. Don't think he'll make the I'm going to research it farther list.
Jacob Faria, on the other hand, he's the real deal.
Yeah, but where are the strikeouts coming in this
start? No, you can't play it. Like, you could if you wanted to, but I can't play him against the Angels. They don't strike out, but, like, 37 strikeouts in 38 innings. This kid just we've been preaching it ever since he got called up. Like,
we preached it when he wasn't on the first slate.
Yeah, so, like, he's legit. He's 4-0. This kid's – which stinks. As, like, a Red Sox fan, I don't want to see Tampa get good pitching, but this guy's legit.
Yeah. I always like Ricky Nolasco until I get to the batted ball side, like, page, and that's when I get scared off every time. I need to, like, just not look at it. Like, 41% hard contact against righties just scares me every time. Every time I look at it.
Steven Souza one-off.
But he's also – his xFIP is 2 runs lower than his FIP against right-handed bats.
I'm so curious if Souza profiles well against him.
Oh, man.
Nolasco throws what?
Sliders, against righties. He has a bunch of different arsenal against righties and lefties, too. He's one of those guys. He throws all sliders and two-seamers against righties. And against lefties, he throws two-seamers and sinkers.
So don't play Steven Souza because he stinks against sliders.
Why doesn't Nolasco throw more sinkers against righties? Like 27% swing strike rate on the season.
Don't play Evan Longoria because he stinks against sliders. 0.089 ISO, Evan Longoria.
This is what I remember doing against Tampa, too. Because Pineda, that's why Pineda keeps boomer busting against Tampa every time.
Oh, man, Corey Dickerson's just been phenomenal this year.
Actually just had Corey Dickerson up, but the problem with him is that he can't hit a sinker.
Yeah, but how much sample size do you have?
That's a fair point.
Because the problem with Dickerson, too, is, like, he faced sinkers and cores. Like, his numbers are going to be so skewed.
That's true. That's a fair point. And they're going to be skewed. They're going to be skewed towards it in its favor, too.
So, like, you just don't have any, like, you have zero data on Dickerson and sinkers.
I hate when you bring up good points that go against what I want to do.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm here for. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why you're here. It's also why you're good at your job.
Sometimes. The one guy that was kind of standing out to me was Wilson Ramos. He was really cheap on the sites, and people assume to forget this guy hit like 340 last year, like 335 or something.
He was one of the reasons why Washington was crushing and then just faded off in the fall.
He was a really good pickup from for Tampa.
That was really sharp. And I'm sorry. Well, I think they'll deal him here in a couple weeks too. But the problem is he's been inconsistent against sliders in his career. But
he's cheap enough where I think I would take a shot. Like we haven't talked a lot about catchers today, and he was like I think he's like 3,100 on DK.
Yeah, there is not a whole lot of catchers other than Avila.
Yeah. Definitely like the spot for Ophelia.
You're kind of right, though. This is kind of just like no interest, no interest, no interest, no interest, no interest, no interest. Especially with Graham Bell day-to-day.
Yeah.
He's expected to play, so that's at least good.
Yeah, but Straley is a reverse splits pitcher. Doesn't get hit by lefties hard.
I'll probably just play 5% on Salvador Perez again like I do every day.
Yeah, that's why I like Ramos. Here we go. Come on, catcher for the day. We move on. Last game of the slate, San Francisco, San Diego, Johnny Cueto against Clayton Richard. You know, you're always going to say the same thing when it comes to Clayton Richard, and it's always a good point. You always have to depend on the umpire that you're going to get. If he's going to get the low ball, you never stack against Clayton Richard.
Thank you. I don't have to say anything.
Yeah, well, we've done enough of these. But, all right, so what are we doing with Johnny Cueto? Like, I hate this guy, but no. San Diego's the worst offense in baseball. It's not even close anymore.
Yeah, Johnny Cueto's been awful, though.
What have the Padres done for you lately? CJ, I could go out and throw 5 innings against the Padres.
But if Cueto's not going to strike anyone, what the hell does it matter?
If he was expensive, it would be such an easy fade.
My problem is he hasn't struck out anyone in over a month, and that always just at red flags just start flying. And it's not like he didn't have spots to strike out people, too. He's had lots of spots to strike out people.
The problem is, like, he's faced San Diego twice, and he's just destroyed them.
Seven earned runs, seven innings, two earned runs, seven Ks this year. Like, that's not terrible, but it's not like – he's also just been pitching way worse of late.
I know how bad he's been pitching. Like, I know. I look at the game log.
Again, like, you're really going to play him over Gerrit Cole?
I don't know.
Or Verlander? Or what I guess we crossed off Verlander. But John Gray – I don't see myself doing it.
If you're playing cash games, I have no issue rolling out a Carrasco Cueto lineup.
You can't fade Paxton in cash.
Easily, don't click his button.
That's insane.
That's why I don't play cash games. But if I was playing cash, there's no way I would play Paxton.
Oh, there's no way I would not play Paxton in cash.
Take that 60-70% square and be done with it.
I guess that's not true. I could talk myself into Carrasco Cole. That's probably a fair point. I probably shouldn't say that.
God, it's really easy to build a Carrasco Cueto lineup. Man.
Again, there's no way that Johnny – hey, you want to do – since we already got a beer, I'll take a shot. I'll take Cole versus Cueto.
DK points?
Yeah.
All right, I'll do that.
All right.
I'll do that. You're going to be drunk on Friday night.
Was that ever in question?
Oh, man. All right. Any final thoughts on this game? Is there any bats from this game that you like?
No.
Isn't Nunez supposed to be back? I swear I
read Actually, that. You know who's a sneaky, 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 sneaky play? Buster Posey at 3-8 if we get a favorable ump here.
That is true. We said we don't really love catchers. Posey's... You know, batting 324, he just doesn't hit home runs.
Yeah, it's because of his ballpark, though. Like, San Diego, you can hit some with your right-handed power hitter.
It is right, though. Nunez is expected back. Yeah. I swear I read that somewhere.
I think he is. Because he was magically in the MLB player pool on MLB The Show, so I'm sure you're right.
Yeah, so he was hitting the ball really well before his hamstring got hurt.
Yeah.
I wanted to see if he rehabbed at all.
Yeah, he rehabbed like 4 days. Not sure what he did, though.
He's always sneaky good against lefties and righties, too.
I'm not paying like, – third base is like the most loaded position on the entire slate.
He's an outfield eligible, but I'm not playing him here. He is back.
Then why do we care?
That's true. Fair point. That's it. Let's play. We're going to do a play draft. It is only four games now. You got a little hot streak going here. I was so happy, though, when you won on Friday.
Yeah, you were rooting for me.
I was definitely rooting for you.
Yeah, it's what happens, man, when you're like you have that team and you're fading the guys. But that's all right. You want to send me a head-to-head so you can get the first pick?
I'm going to get the first pick even if you send that. But I'm
doing it. Wow, that's getting a little cocky there.
No, I don't care. Hold on.
Just send it to me. I haven't.
No, I know. I am sending
it. I'll be on play draft tomorrow, though, because I'm driving to Tennessee, which means I get to drive through states where I can play. So I'll be having baseball challenges throughout the day, so make sure you follow me if you want to try and take my money.
Yeah, I won't be. My girlfriend would have a heart attack. No, I'm driving. We're going to three different places, so I'm driving.
Oh, you're driving. Oh, that's not so bad.
No. We're driving because, like – Yeah,
pick up gas. When you're picking up gas, just fire up some play drafts.
Yeah.
No, probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah. Fair enough.
All right, I sent it to you.
Alrighty. If you haven't joined play draft, make sure you use that promo code Grinders.
If you haven't joined play draft, you're doing something wrong. Like we talk about these guys all the time. Like there's no reason you shouldn't be on play draft yet. Like yeah. Not only are they one of the reasons that you guys get the podcast for free, but the product is just amazing.
Also, I got the first pick, so karma.
No, I'm actually glad you got the first pick today. I was reverse jinxing it there.
Yeah, sure you were.
And I'll let you make the decision between DeGrom and Carrasco.
Well, I already made it.
Oh, did you?
I took Carrasco. Man, there's so many good hitters. Like, if you go pitcher here, you don't get Seager or Cano. It's like, this is an interesting spot for you here. What are you going to do?
Did you not see that already? I already picked.
I saw you took one pitcher.
Yeah, then it went Cano.
Oh, did you go Cano? I haven't seen that yet. It's not popped up on my screen.
It should have. It's shown on my screen that it's
big. Yeah, there it is. It's popping up now. Good. I was hoping I could bait you into taking Cano.
There's no way I wasn't taking Cano.
I really wanted to bait you. I needed John Gray. Like, I didn't have a better pitcher after that. Like, I thought he was clearly on a tier of his own. I was afraid you were going to go pitcher.
No. There's no way I wasn't going Cano.
All right, so
I'll take Cueto. I don't care.
Oh, good. Yeah, a guy with no strikeout upside on draft. That's a great idea. Please do that.
Guy is not going to get shelled in a cash format. Terrible idea.
Not going to get shelled. You've never met Johnny Cueto, apparently. And I'll take
you never met San Diego Bats. I'm telling you, I could throw five innings against them.
Yeah, you give up like six runs.
I would cry the next day, but...
All right, I took Kyle Seager. Not going to let Stevie get Cano and Seager.
This pick is the best pick of the day. No, hands down, best pick of the day.
You're going to take the guy. Yup, I knew it. Yup, knew it. Stupid draft has him projected really high.
Because he's going to mash. Joey Votto, baby. My Reds.
Damn it.
Siege's going to drink a beer and have a shot.
Oh, man. I'm not losing that freaking I might lose the other one. I'm not losing Cueto versus Who do I have? Garrett Cole?
I'm minus like 350 to win the Reds bet.
You're not minus 350.
The Reds to score five runs, it's cake.
Oh, my God.
Cake.
Man, this is what happens
Just so I don't forget, I'm making a Red stack right now. God. I would be so pissed if they like score 10 runs and I'm making fun of you. And you're like... How's your red stack doing? I'd be like, I forgot to stack them.
Oh, that would – yeah, that's example A of how you get beer thrown in your face. I'm going to take Freddie, and I'm going to take – it's kind of an interesting spot after that. I mean, I got a ton of guys in the same tier. I don't have Garrett Cole. You do. I can't take Carpenter here. Carpenter's probably in the lead.
I'm not taking Garrett Cole. I told you I'm thinking.
No, I thought I had him, and then remembered I don't. Oh, it's either Daniel Murphy, who profiles really well, or it's I think you want. Oh, you have a tip pitcher left, so it's not going to matter.
No, I already told you I'm taking. I'm taking Johnny Cueto. You have both your pitchers taken.
Matt Carpenter or Daniel Murphy.
You know who I'd take?
You take Carpenter, I think. Let's do it. Hedgelife.
The Reds are the Rays are really cheap on DraftKings, by the way.
Good. Let people play them. Like I'm everyone loves stacking against Ricky Nolasco. Like the last time I felt like this, you talked me out of the Dodgers and it was a bad idea and I'm not listening anymore. Help.
Not listening to you.
I am the Ricky Nolasco Whisperer. I'm going to take that badge with honor, and I'm going to tell you, don't stack Rays.
All right, let's play some Home Run Derby.
The Rays score 14.
Home Run Derby, I'll let you go first.
Robinson Cano.
No. Vito.
Yeah. Okay, I will take Kyle Seager.
That's fine. I just wanted to make sure I got the Vito in so I get the home run.
That's fine by me. I took Cano.
I'm going to go Joey Votto.
I don't know if I want to let you have him. Such a good spot on paper for Votto. I actually looked at the advanced profile too. You know what? I'm not letting you have Joey Votto. How about that?
All right, I'm going to go Freddie Freeman.
Yeah, it was a mistake, but whatever.
I was going Freeman regardless. It didn't matter.
Yeah, but I'll have Vito.
And then I'm going to go. Well, I don't know how. We didn't really talk about this guy too much. I'm going to go JD Martinez.
JD Martinez. Interesting. Okay.
Against Aaron Sanchez, I like it.
Okay. I will go with Matt Carpenter. And then I will go.
I'm glad to see you're coming aboard the Matt Carpenter train.
This is a total hedge because I'm going to have so much Garrett Cole. I just need him to get Matt Carpenter out.
Not going to happen.
Total hedge life for me.
Not going to happen.
Total hedge life. I'll have some in arcade mode for sure. I'm going to have to play arcade mode in the slate because there's just so many one-offs that I won't be able to fit in stacks that I love. Let's look. We're trying to find like some non-chalky options. We've like yapped about the chalk for like 5 hours. God, Kyle Seager's 3,300 on DraftKings. What a joke. You know, I'm going to take a San Diego bet just for max troll. How about that? I'm actually going to go with where's my boy? Where is he? Why is he not here? Why is he not in the player pool? Oh, it's because he's 3,100 against Johnny Cueto. I can't do it. I wanted to. All right, I'm going to go chalky. I was going to go contrarian, but I just don't really like any of the contrarian options. So I'm going to go ahead and just take Daniel Murphy. I know that's super lame.
Oh, that's fine. I'm going to go Nick Williams.
How did I miss him? I was staring right at that price range on DraftKings.
Yeah, I'm going to go kind of off the board here and take a guy that
– I'm perfect.
Nick Williams
is free.
One home run this season, so I'm going to take a shot on Nick
It was
Williams.
Sunday. He's got a one-game home run streak.
All right, well, let's ride it. If you haven't checked out PlayDraft, make sure you guys check them out. Like we said, playdraft.com/grinders. 100% deposit bonus up to $600. Plus, you get some free incentives here. Premium at RotoGrinders for a few months. So make sure you guys are taking advantage of that because we have the best best ball content in the industry. So make sure you guys are checking that out. The Siege, any final thoughts here?
No, man. I will see you this weekend.
Hopefully not too much changes on the slate. This guy's helped you out, and we'll see you guys again on Monday.
Hey, what's up, Roto Grinders? Chris Cimino here, and it's time for you to get an edge on your DFS competition with our daily ownership projections for DraftKings and FanDuel, available now to our premium subscribers. We're constantly evaluating our projections and updating all the way up through lineup lock to ensure you have the best possible information in crunch time. Our team covers NFL, NBA, MLB, and PGA for all main slate action. If you don't have this, you are missing out. Subscribe to Roto Grinders Premium today to get access to our premium ownership projections and to our award-winning premium content.